The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Welcome back to K4 Wins, K4Wins.com, K4Wins.com, our weekly podcast here of everything that is college football. We also will get into some NFL, some college hoops, of course, well underway as well, and some NFL action as well. But right now we're getting to bowl season, gentlemen. It is finally here, college bowl season. Favorites so far in this bowl season, 5-0 against the spread. Just a little interesting there, Mr. Las Vegas man, Case Keep from the bottom low. I heard the screen. We'll find out who exactly our Pats is as soon as Kai Gregory tells everybody how we've done on our numbers from last week. What's going on, man?
Oh, crap. Where did I write them down? Okay, yeah. So last weekend, 14-8 with two pushes, not bad. Year to date, we are 63.2%. That's 381 wins, 220 losses, and 22 pushes.
Very nice. He is Kai Gregory, plays both sides, man. He's been doing it for a long, long period of time, handicapping ball games. He is Case Kiefer, the executive director and, of course, editor of the Las Vegas Sun. Does fantastic work. He's out there, ground zero right there in Las Vegas. And, of course, Kip Kiefer, a good friend of mine, and not only that, but a cohort, and does a lot of radio shows with me, including his television show, Kip Kiefer and Tony Curry. It is a starting lineup every Saturday morning, 10:30, 11 o'clock on ABC 3340. You can see I got a bandage on my neck. I had back surgery, neck surgery yesterday. So I feel great, but I sound like shit. So just deal with me today. I'm trying not to make fun. Before we jump into all kinds of picks, we have our first playoff game going on later on this evening. This show will be up in time. And we have three more bowl games going on tomorrow, but we were talking briefly before we got started, Case, and I want to throw it straight out to you in Las Vegas, Fresno State, Northern Illinois, December 23rd. I see the line Northern Illinois 3-40. Whenever you know how I am about 40s. Whenever I see a game in the 40s, man, I love to play the overs. Anything in the 39s, it's just a forgiven, just like it was for, of course, Navy and Army, which, by the way, you nailed. Eight of the last 10 games went under in that series. It was at 39. It went over. It blew over. But I'm looking there, and so I find out that no transfer portal players are playing in this ball game. Both teams without their starting quarterbacks, without the starting wide receivers, without the starting defense. I mean, I'm talking about across the table. It's like 37 dudes are out. And the amazing number is Fresno State's wide receiver core have a total of 4 catches on the entire year starting this football game on the 23rd. Any value there? Do you see any value there? Is that one of those things where you're just going to leave it alone?
Yeah, actually, maybe, unfortunately, have bet this game, especially with the way you preambled it. But to me, I mean, especially with the total this low, and you're right, actually, last time I had the totals up, looked like this was a lot more 39s. But there's been a little bit of buy on the over now, mostly 40, 39 and a half, which I don't love to see, because to me, what this game just shaped up as, I know Fresno State had more defections. There's a lot of Northern Illinois guys gone to. It's kind of hard to forecast this far out, but it looks like the weather, as it usually is in Boise this time of year, is going to be really cold and windy. I just looked at this as like an ultra ugly, slow paced game. I mean, that's what Northern Illinois wants to do anyway. That's what they do in the MAC. They just line up and try to get 4 yards and push you around. And I think Fresno has the guys that can do that too. So I looked at this as something like a, at most 17-14, 2017 game. And to me, when you have that type of game script and both teams are a little weakened by guys leaving, I just think there's value in taking the point. So I actually did bet Fresno plus 3 despite everything. This bowl season's been so hard. I've fallen on my face a couple times betting too early. I think maybe I should wait a little bit more. Like, I know we were texting about it, but like the Cal UNLV game near open, I thought Cal was a great bet. Then UNLV ends up keeping basically all their guys with including their quarterback with Dan Mullen coming in and everyone that you thought might not play. He seemed like he really wanted him to play the bowl game. Cal lost even more guys. So, and when the line moves 7 points, you're kind of stuck in your position. So that's one where it backfired on me. Maybe this is another one, but just the way I think the game is going to play. I think Fresno will feel more at home at Albertson Stadium. I think they're a little bit more used to, the blue turf and kind of playing in Boise and what that's like. I just, in a game like this, I'd have to take the underdog. I'd have to look towards taking the points.
I want to kind of go in order for you guys, because a lot of people will be watching the show. It'll be up in a couple hours here. So we're going to get this thing up really, really quick. We have a couple bowl games going on this morning. Don't know if you would watch it before the first bowl game of the day, but we do have Tulane and Florida going off a little bit later on this afternoon, then Indiana and Notre Dame in the first playoff game. So I want to get into those two bowl games. If you have a play on the first game, we're obviously going to be looking at a lot of the playoff games and the three games going off tomorrow with Indiana, Notre Dame, Clemson, and Texas, and Tennessee, and Ohio State. Then on the backside, we'll talk about anything else that's kind of piquing your interest, because we are planning on doing a more one show during the season. Anybody got any takes on Tulane and Florida? And then we'll go with Indiana, Notre Dame. We'll start with you, Kai. What you got?
You know, that line has plummeted. I don't know what it is now. The last time I saw it, it was 10.5. And at one point, it was 14. The line movement just really boggles my mind.
And Tulane, Florida, by the way. Yeah.
Yeah. And if I played it, I would probably play Florida, but the line movement scares the crap out of me. So it's something I'm just going to 100% stay away from.
Yeah. And I think
something I don't know.
I think it's interesting too. And this is one of those things that you'd be probably not going to play on, because Green Wave, should I say, it could be the Green Bay, because they're both lousy in this part and special teams. Neither team can make a field goal to save their lives. And with those field goal issue kicks, you always wonder maybe if on those 4th and 4 from your own 37s, maybe you'll go for it more often than you actually try to kick a field goal. Kai, what's your thoughts on an SEC twist with Tulane in Florida? Obviously, Florida 7-5 on the season, saved the season for Napier. And then of course you got Tulane, who just 3 or 4 weeks ago was sitting there as one of those teams that was going to be in the top 12 and gets the boot after the last couple of losses. But what's your thoughts?
Did you call? Go ahead, Kai.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Kip.
Think he meant Kip.
I meant Kip. I'm sorry, Kip. Go ahead.
It's okay. I'm baffled. I thought Tulane was a pretty good team. They really fell on their face the last two games, but Memphis, I think, guys, was a really good football team this year. So that loss on Thanksgiving to Memphis, maybe not as stunning. Maybe it shocked the Green Wave system a little bit, because Army really kind of pushed them around in the AAC championship game, which didn't get much attention because there were other bigger fish to fry that day. But I still think Tulane had a really good team. And I know Case could probably fill in the blanks here, but I know Summerall, the coach, is a hot commodity. There's big rumors he was going to bail. I think he's stabilized now. And Florida, you know, they made the big rally at the end of the year. I give them a lot of credit. We've been calling Billy Napier on our shows on Saturdays and Sundays for the last couple of years, Sunbelt Billy, an accolade to Billy. We're calling him Bowl Bound Billy now until the further notice. So it's such a feel good story. The Gators have gotten the ship righted, but I just have a sneaking suspicion. And with the line movement, I think people are expecting maybe Tulane to rebound today. I think it's going to be a really close game. I would take Tulane even at the limited points. I wish I could have gotten on board when they were double digits.
Case, is the Green Wave coming in or going out?
I hate, usually you're on, you go to me and you trust that I have bets on like all these games, but I just, like I said, that this bowl season's kind of thrown me off, and I've kind of discouraged with some things. I really like, I know it's easy to say now, but I really like Tulane at plus 14, and it looked like just all Florida money. So it's like, oh, I'm just going to wait a little bit longer. Maybe I can get a 14.5. Then of course it just starts crashing. One of the reasons for the initial crash, I mean, number one, I think Kip nailed it. I think everyone assumed Summerall was leaving. He was kind of linked to UCF. He was kind of linked to North Carolina when both these came out. They thought they might throw a lot of money at him, and if he left, everyone was going to be gone. So I think there was
old enough for North Carolina.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Exactly. I think there was some speculative money on Florida. There's always going to be some buyback. Then it got accelerated. One of probably the most famous bettors, or I guess he probably wouldn't like me using the word tout, but one of the big services released Tulane 2 days ago. And I think that initially got it down to 10.5. Now it's basically 10 across the board. I mean, that's a huge move to now where I couldn't take Tulane. But at the same time, I mean, that's still a lot of points for Florida. I kind of give Tulane a little bit of a pass for losing these last two games. I had a visceral reaction when Kip talked about Memphis, because I really think Memphis underachieved hugely this year. I think talent-wise, they were by far the best team in the AAC with all that FedEx money. I had a lot of futures on them that that they no-showed a couple games, of course, and went down the drain. So I guess for me, I'm always looking ahead, if you know me. And what I'd love is if Tulane won this game outright somehow and people got down on Florida going into next season, because I feel like I'm going to be the same way I was this season. It turned out well this year. I'm going to be a lone wolf, and I think Florida has some things looking up next year. So I'd love if some of the buzz got just a little bit off Florida, maybe shaves a half point off their win total next year. I don't care what they do in this game. I think they're going to be pretty good next year.
See, and I've kind of flipped on this because we did the show last week. I was liking Florida minus 13.5 or 13. And now I'm thinking to myself, wow, Tulane plus the 11.5 or 12 sounds pretty good. And the more research you do, it's amazing how a couple things can happen. Tulane is a little banged up. But they also are really, really good. I've seen all kinds of stats. I dive into a lot of different numbers, and you guys really care about these things, but it's something to work, at least from my side. And that is to say that Tulane really defends explosive plays very well. And Florida certainly has a lot of that this year. And if they can keep the ball in front of them, in front of the chains, I know that's coach speak. I like Tulane plus the points. Kip, let's go back to you. First playoff game of the year. I cannot believe it. Today's it's like a fantastic day. I mean, it's fantastic today. And then, of course, tomorrow we're going to blow the doors off. But Indiana at Notre Dame, a real interesting game. Opened up at 8.5. It seems like a lot of money is going on those Hoosiers. Now down to 6.5. We know about both run defenses. We know Notre Dame's been getting it along. How do you see this game playing out with Indiana, Notre Dame in the first playoff game?
Well, I mean, I'm excited about it because it's two teams that are about an hour and a half apart who never play in the same state. So I think that's really awesome. Mm-hmm. But it's a hard game for me to forecast. I think Notre Dame's explosive offensively. I don't think they've been tested much on the other side of the ball. And I don't know how good Indiana is, because I'm going to be honest with you guys. I've really only watched one Indiana game all year, and it was the Ohio State game. I really haven't watched them play all the other cupcakes that they have beaten up badly. I don't watch Big Ten regular season games unless there's absolutely nothing else on. So I just don't feel like I'm really an expert on Indiana. I thought they played a really shaky game against Ohio State and looked like they weren't ready for prime time. But I just think there's some other incentives in this game. And I'm not completely sold on Marcus Freeman and Notre Dame yet either. So as I tend to do in these circumstances, when I don't know, I just like taking the points. So I'm going to take the Hoosiers to try to take that one stain. I think a lot of people are like me, the national perception. They've only seen the Ohio State game, and Indiana didn't look ready for prime time. I've not been a fan of that team all year. I think the only reason they're in the playoffs, they spent $2 million to buy out their game against Louisville so they wouldn't have to go there, a potential loss, and they replaced them with Western Illinois. That was a bold move, but it's paid off. Here they are in the playoffs, but I'm going to take the points here.
Case, interesting ball game in that, of course, the line has dropped a couple points. And for me, if you're looking at a game and you just don't know which way to go, you always bet against Notre Dame. It just always feels good. But that Notre Dame has bitten me in the ass about four times this year. So I've got Indiana in this game. I got to get it plus 7. But I'm treading lightly, man. This is a small bet for me, Case. What is Vegas, and what do you say more importantly?
Yeah, well, hopefully you got it in, because just in the course of the last hour since I woke up, it's now 6.5 across the board. Man, I wish I had your enthusiasm the day after back and neck surgery. Really inspiring performance. I give it up to you, because you can tell I'm kind of just a little down. I've been a little sick. Nothing compared to
I'm on
you,
pain so medications, my friend. I'll share after the show.
But part of the reason is the market's just kind of been against me in a lot of these games. And you know, I know people will probably watch this or watch our show and say I get too hung up on that, but I'm telling you that the best way you can improve as a sports bettor is stop caring so much about wins and losses and start tracking about what numbers you're getting. Are you getting the better numbers? Like, yeah, okay, you might win once or twice, but over time, you need to be beating the market to win. And this is one where it's just gone completely against me. I feel pretty strongly about Notre Dame here. I never thought this would get less than a touchdown. I laid the 7. With Notre Dame, I guess I probably, and I'm kind of kicking myself. So I feel like I probably should have seen it coming. Indiana has just taken money in every single game this year. I mean, even Ohio State, we saw, I think, a late move towards Indiana. Notre Dame, people have been a little bit more skeptical of. I've said this on like every program, including Kip's the starting lineup last week. So I feel like I'm repeating myself, but I feel like I'd have a much tougher time with handicapping this game if it was like middle of the year. I just feel like Indiana was absolutely rolling and kind of hit their peak. Again, I say this for a lot of teams. I don't care about their schedule. There's a baseline you can make of what a team should be doing against whatever opponent it was. And bottom line, Indiana was blowing it out of the water. I just think Notre Dame skill players, Notre Dame in the trenches should have a big advantage. And I just think that they've played so well down the stretch of the season. I know the same schedule hounders will be out there yelling, well, they haven't played anybody. I mean, they played a pretty decent strength of schedule. Mm-hmm. Kip just threw out Louisville, who I think was underrated. Going to USC, I mean, that's no easy trip. They went by two touchdowns. I know they had some pick sixes, but I really like the way Notre Dame's been playing down the stretch of the season. And less than a touchdown to me seems like a Notre Dame spot. But again, there's some influential people, some smart people that disagree with me. Actually, there might be points in this game. I know it's going to be cold, but it's not really going to be windy. And this isn't going to be like a shock to either program. Obviously, but there's a lot of research that, you know, some of this climate effect is a lot where you're from and you're native and you're used to it. I mean, Indiana and Notre Dame, the wind is a bigger factor. It's not going to be windy. So I think they're going to be used to the cold. I think there will be a lot of points. And kind of to correlate what I said about the Fresno State game, when there's a lot of points, I like the favorite more. So I'm on Notre Dame here.
And I'm looking at 51.5. Is that the latest you got on the over-under?
Yeah, and I know it sounds easy to say now, and I actually don't have this in writing, so I can't say.
When I first looked
at the totals on these games earlier in the week, I kind of in my head said, okay, what do I think the scores are going to be? And I came out with Notre Dame 31-21. So, okay. And it was like 48.5. Then I was like, oh, maybe I should bet over. But now, I mean, I basically write on the total. So that no play on the total, but I do think it's about right.
Okay, hard to believe, Kai, that a lot of people are putting this on coaching. Cignetti obviously is, everyone knows who he is now this year. And of course, a lot of say, well, he's really, really good when he's got some time to prepare. Well, everyone's got time to prepare when you're talking about the playoffs. So I don't know if he's got an advantage there as well. Good run defense for Indiana. I don't know if it could slow down that defense. Rush offense that they really depend on. And of course, every game that Notre Dame plays looks like it's an ugly game. Although this year they look like they've been popping some points. Kai, what are you looking at?
Oh, I'll just say in the interest of time as we go along here that I took Indiana +8.5 really early on. I'm going to try to middle it. I'm going to go and take Notre Dame more than likely -6.5 or six. Going on to that, I do think, I think they wasted $2 million. I think Indiana would have boat raced Louisville. I don't respect Louisville. I don't care if they went and beat USC. USC sucks. So my opinion. Complete waste. Yeah, Notre Dame's going to move on.
Can you please tell me, please explain to me why anyone would want to middle a bet? I've never understood that. I know it makes you feel as a better that you're the top shit if you can pick both sides and win both sides.
It's the ultimate.
But it is the ultimate when you do it. But I can never understand, because when I bet on something, I'm going all in. I'm not going to hedge myself unless, of course, I have a ton of money that I'm going to win on the outside and I can hedge it. So I'm not going to win as much, but at least I know I'm going to get a payday. Your thoughts, anybody?
Well, I watch.
I'll let the expert talk.
We'll get to him because I'm going to appraise him a little bit here. I saw him pull off an unbelievable middle a couple of years ago, Kansas, North Carolina in the national championship game in the NCAA basketball tournament. He had bet Kansas big to win the whole thing. And then he took North Carolina +3.5 in the actual title game. And of course it comes right down to the wire. Carolina has the ball with a chance to tie the game and perhaps ruin his bet. They missed the shot. Kansas wins by 2. Case cashes on the national championship and crushes the North Carolina +3.5. So I have seen the middle work, and it's a wondrous thing.
All right, let's move on to our next playoff game, SMU at Penn State. Really interesting ball game. SMU, of course, gets in. A lot of people didn't think they were going to get in. I know a lot of Bama fans are rooting against SMU just because they took Alabama's spot, which is totally stupid to me, but whatever gets you on the playing board, and they're going to take Penn State. And I don't know anybody on this show over the last 12 weeks has really said, man, I love this Penn State squad. They're really playing well, except for Case, because he knows where the money is. Penn State giving up 9 this particular game. I will say this, and just did the research. I don't have a play on either side. I'd have to go with SMU, but I'm really concerned about SMU's offensive line. And Kevin Jennings, I'm not sure if he's going to get the protection that he's going to need to throw that football against Penn State. Penn State wins ugly, but the most important thing is they win ugly. Let's go to Kip. Kip, what's your thoughts on SMU and Penn State in another great bowl game?
I'm not going to wax poetic here. I'm just going to tell you, in a game that I think is going to be competitive, I'm going to take SMU in the points.
Okay. Case, what you got?
I know you're referring to me that I've loved Penn State all year, but I've loved SMU all year too. I've picked teams like almost every week. And to me, I mean, just kind of simple numbers play. I made the 6.5 all the way to 8.5. I think I have to take SMU. I think Penn State's defense, and maybe now it'll get back to the level it was early in the season with some weeks off, but I think it's kind of been trending downwards here these last few weeks. I think SMU's offense is kind of underrated. I'd be pretty surprised if they won outright. This is kind of the flip of the first game. I am a little bit worried about the weather, but more than a touchdown to me, I think it'd have to be the Mustangs.
All right, the Mustangs. And Kai, what are you looking at?
You know, looking at that game, James Franklin's not going to automatically lose because, you know, it's not a top five team. So he just doesn't automatically lose no matter what.
3-19.
I'm going to lean to SMU over their team total of 21. That's the only chance they're going to have in the game because they don't have a great defense. But their offense is going to be pretty good. And I think they're going to learn some stuff from Oregon, who put up 40 on them. So I think I don't think SMU is going to win the game. I want to call that outright. I would love it if it got to 10. That'd be even better. But I just like SMU over their team total.
I know the last game of the day, Tennessee, Ohio State, certainly going to be a game that Kai's going to be looking at as a huge Tennessee homer. I'm a Clemson homer only because I'm writing checks to go to Clemson for my son to go. And I'm so glad that Clemson somehow backed their way into a playoff. And of course, normally when you take a coach who's won a couple national titles already, backs his way in, you certainly want to give him some respect for doing that. They're catching a 12.5 spot. That's the number I saw just a few minutes ago. This game scares me to bejeebers. I want to root for Clemson, but I love Texas. I think there's a huge talent discrepancy here between both squads. I love Texas defense. I think they're overmatched. Then I'm looking at Clemson, and there's Klubnik, who's gone 13-2, touchdowns to interceptions the last five ball games, 33 touchdowns, including some rushes and five picks in the season. You look at those numbers, you think, man, this guy's throwing lights out, but I just don't trust him at all. I don't think that Clemson can stay with Texas. I think the beginning of this game is going to be really, really close. And I think Texas pulls away. And I think, I mean, a blowout, if you want to call it 14 points, I like Texas in this game. Kip, what do you see?
It's too many points for a playoff game to me. I think Clemson is a solid team, not a great team. But, you know, and Texas, I am the first to admit, has a plethora of talent. They're huge. They've got tremendous skill players, but when are they going to put it together? Every game they come out and it's like, you know, this team is supposed to be so good. They completely dominate the first half against Georgia. They're up 6-3. And they get the beaten in the second half by Georgia's second string quarterback. I mean, this team on paper looks great, but you know, it just week after week after week, I think they underperform. They completely dominated Texas A&M and only scored 17 points. I just can't give 12.5 points to a quality program like Clemson. I have to take the points again.
But they only gave up 7. They win by 10. They only have to give up 14 this game. Kai, what are you looking at?
I mean, I Texas has been methodical all year long. I think that Klubnik has been playing well. I think he's going to give them a harder time than Beck did or the backup. I would take Clemson with the 12.5. I just don't think Sark gives a rip and flip about any style points. I think Texas will probably win the game, but I think it's going to be closer than 12.5.
Case, what do you got? This is a big number, that's another one of those things where you only when you see a number this big, you know, you can go, it's kind of a smelly fish. You're getting Clemson, the guys want to go. And then you got Sarkisian, this up-and-coming guy. Really, he's an up-and-coming. He's been around for quite some time right now, but he's got Texas right where he wanted them in a playoff spot. What you think?
Finally, one that I timed well and seemed to be getting some market agreement. So I speak with some confidence, and I hate bashing Clemson because I know you have some allegiance there, but at least okay. We're on the safe side here. I don't like this Tigers team at all. I don't think they belong. I mean, I think winning the ACC championship game is a travesty. We should never forgive Miami and their, you know, forget what you think about the Hurricanes. Like, their offense has been incredible. Them losing to Syracuse, I think, cost us one more really good college football playoff game. I mean, even the SMU game, again, I feel like I'm repeating myself since we've talked about these games so much, but they did absolutely nothing after building that first big lead. They averaged less than 4 yards per play. I know I've been high on Texas all year, but to me, this is less about Texas and more about Clemson. I thought 10 and a half was way too low of a number. I'd be pretty surprised if Texas doesn't win by at least double digits here. I know that leaves me a half point where I could still get beaten, but I honestly think Texas wins by 2 touchdowns. And I just don't think Clemson belongs. I seems like I'm not maybe as high on them as Kip and Kai, but I'd lay it with Texas still. You know, it's getting a little bit tougher now, but I just think these teams are in different classes.
And by the way, before we get into this last ball game, Case, I wanted to ask you, do you see any major line movements for any particular reasons, any late money, any sharks coming at the last minute coming in on these games? Or can we pretty much count on that 12.5, count on that 9, count on that 6.5 in these games so far?
The games so far, I mean, obviously, there's money coming in on Indiana today, so I'm kind of already cheating. It's been a big Indiana surge. I think now Texas is about where it should be. What's the other game we talked about? SMU, Penn State. I keep thinking there's going to be a little bit of buy on SMU. It hasn't happened yet, but I think that could only be SMU, but I don't think it'll get down to 7. And then the last game, I think, is the one most interesting with line moves. So I know we're going to get to that. But,
yeah, and that's one game that I have not seen a line move at all. It's been sitting there playing 7, maybe 6.5, yeah. 7.5, depending on where you're shopping. But, I mean, it's 7 right on. The ball's on 7. And let's go to Kai because his favorite team's playing in that game, Tennessee at the Shoe, -7. This is a really, really interesting ball game. And I know you're super excited about having your Tennessee Volunteers. Obviously, at the beginning of the season, you were like, okay, it's a Shoe, and they look fantastic defensively and offensively. They kind of had to find themselves. Certainly didn't back in. They got in because they deserved to get in. I think the playoffs are better with Tennessee, but now can they beat Ohio State, a squad that quite frankly is up there scratching their head? Wait a minute, we just lost to Michigan again, 13-10. People are calling for Day's job, yet if he wins a playoff game, and I know a lot of people are saying he's got to win the national championship or bust, I think that's ridiculous, but I do think it would bode really well if he beats Tennessee in this first round. I think if he loses to Tennessee, they may fire him.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's funny because believe it or not, I probably won't get to see the entire first quarter of this game. But our Marine flies home. We got to go pick him up at the airport at 6:30. So I told my wife, she's like, "You going to go with me or watch the game?" I'm like, "Well, he comes in 15 days. I'll be with you. Don't worry." It's interesting to me. I don't trust Heupel and that offense on the road. Tennessee's weakness, and people look at me like I'm crazy, is their defensive line up the middle. They got gashed by Arkansas and Mississippi State with quarterback runs up the middle. What does Will Howard do best? Runs the ball.
That's what he did.
You know, but he's got probably 5, maybe 6 guys on his roster. They're NFL wide receivers also. So if Tennessee does not get pressure on Howard, he's going to be able to make some plays because if he only hit 30% of his deep balls, well, you know, that could be 21 points. And that probably could be enough. I loved the under at 47.5. It's 46.5. We came off a number there that I liked. Probably going to drop another half point, maybe. Tennessee's 0-21 on the road against top 10 teams their last 21 games.
I thought you didn't look at trends like that. Those are stupid Tony Curry trends.
Tony Curry stat that I threw out there. But I don't trust them. I don't know that I could lay 7.5 with Ohio State. But I don't know that 7.5 is enough to get me. I'm going to root. I'm going to watch my team and root for them. I think the under is probably the best play.
Yeah, and I mean, that's weird because when you talk about that, well, who's that starting quarterback for Ohio State again? What's his name?
Will Howard.
Will Howard. Will Howard. You ask 100 people on the street, do you know who Will Howard is? Everyone will go, well, was he in some comedy movie last year or something? They don't even know who the quarterback is for Ohio State. Kip, what do you see in this game?
Well, I've gone with all the underdogs and all the others. I'm an SEC guy. I'm all big orange all the time tonight, but I just think Ohio State is going to be a team on a mission. They've got the bad taste in their mouth. That Michigan game was so ugly, so bad. And I just think this is going to be a super motivated team playing at home. They have to win this game. Kai nailed it. Tennessee on the road has been very unimpressive. I thought they had they got off to such a good start against Georgia and really just let that game get away. And I don't understand with the dynamics on the Tennessee offense. I told Kai on the TV show, I heard a commentator say, well, you can only hold down that Josh Heupel offense for so long. The Josh Heupel offense involves turning around and handing it to Sampson 30 times a game. And he's a great running back, but I don't know if he's really going to be able to be enough. It wasn't enough against Georgia. I think we're going to see a similar kind of game. Tennessee will get off to a good start, hang around. But I think as the game goes on, the superiority of Ohio State's overall team and playing at home, I think they win and cover this game.
Well, Ohio State's given up 13, 15, 7, 0, 13 points. They have not given up more than 17 points, but one time all year long. No one's talking about Ohio State's defense. Yeah, they played in the Big Ten. Their schedule wasn't that rough. I know they don't like to play schools outside the state of Ohio in the first 3 months of the season. I get that. My biggest thing is I think it's Ohio State's defense against that offensive line of Tennessee. I just don't see them. I don't trust that offensive line for Tennessee. Their pass protection, they have issues all over the place. Nico's 19 touchdowns and 5 picks. It's fine. I saw a wonderful number. The average release rate in college football this year is 2.45 seconds for quarterbacks. For Nico, it's 2.91 seconds, almost a half a second longer. He can't hold on to that ball. One of the reasons he's got to hold on that ball long is because his offensive line doesn't know where the hell they're going. He cannot hold on to the ball for 3 seconds and hope to get passes. He'll get six sacks seven times. He has looked fantastic the last two games. It was against UTEP and Vandy. This is Ohio State. This is a top squad. This is a team a lot of people believe should win a national title this year. I've got to take Ohio State. As long as it's a 7 or less, I'm all over the Buckeyes. I do hope that Tennessee pulls it out, but if my money's all right, I'm going to go the Buckeyes. Case, what are you seeing?
Yeah, this game I kind of talked about last week. I just don't really have a strong feeling on. I mean, all the three sides I shared prior, Texas, Notre Dame, and SMU, I all feel pretty good about. This one, I honestly probably shouldn't have a bet on. I talked about last week. I ended up betting Tennessee plus 7.5 at reduced juice just a little bit when I got worried the 7.5s were going to be gone. I guess I kind of got a good bet because it's mainly over that right now. But I think that's about right. That's fascinating, Nico stat. I hadn't heard that. As a person who has pounded the table, one of the things I've always stood for is that sacks and pressures are way more of a quarterback stat than an offensive line stat when you're holding the ball that long. That's a problem. But I think that also speaks to, and I think I might have talked with Kip about that. I do feel like there's a higher level that Nico can hit. You can see his natural talent every time you watch them. He's still just a little raw. I mean, I'm not saying it's going to happen here, but I mean, you never know. Sometimes great players elevate. At weird times, they've had some weeks off. So I do think, you know, ceiling wise, Tennessee's offense can hang right with them. I don't know, just pretty much strictly a numbers play to me. I think situationally, I agree. This sets up great for Ohio State to me. They had an awful game plan against Michigan. It backfired. I think if you're a Tennessee fan, you would have loved if they somehow snuck that out playing the ridiculous, we're just as tough as Michigan game and then try to do the same thing against Tennessee, because I don't think that'll work against Tennessee. Unfortunately, of course, they lost that game. And I got to think Chip Kelly and Ryan Day have a better plan here. So I like the spot situationally for Ohio State, especially with the fact that this is probably, 9.5 if what happened in their last game didn't happen. I'm really intrigued to see where the line goes, because if you listen to what the bookmakers, people taking the bet, say is that all the interest is in Tennessee. Everyone's betting Tennessee, and yet we haven't seen this move a whole lot. So I don't know. I kind of have maybe a little sneaking suspicion that there are some big groups, some big money out there that wants Ohio State, and they're just trying to get the kind of the books where you can get the biggest bets down to get to 7, which they've been really hesitant to do. I mean, the real the biggest books are still kind of at 7.5. So I'm interested to see if there's that late push towards Ohio State. It wouldn't surprise me at all, but I am ever so slightly on the Tennessee side. I probably shouldn't even have bet it, and I definitely wouldn't bet it at 7, but 7.5. Maybe this is a low-scoring game. I think Tennessee can hang around for a while.
We love doing this podcast. We wish we could do it every single day. Obviously, we got 4 different guys, and that's why sometimes I get tripped up on my K's, man. We got Kai, we got Kip, we got Case, we got Curry. We got them all over the place. 4kwins.com. 4kwins.com. That is updated at least several times a day. Thanks to Kai for taking care of all that business part. K4wins.com. K4wins.com. If you want to get plays every single day during football season, no matter what time of the day it is, go to K4wins.com. K4wins.com. And we'll have another podcast hopefully by the end of the week, and we'll certainly do it again on Friday as we've got more playoff games coming up here. Gentlemen, thank you so much. Go ahead, Kip. You got something?
Just going to say real quick as a final thought, am I wrong, or are these games and these lines really brutally tough?
It's unbelievable. I mean, I that's a great point, Case. Is it tough because we're overthinking? Is this paralysis from analysis? Or obviously, listen, a gambler will find value in anything, right? It doesn't matter what the line is. He will pick a side, and all of a sudden he'll talk his way into saying, listen, I really like this 7.5 or this 8.5. But it is amazing towards the end of the season how tight it gets, Case.
Yeah, I think it's really tough. I'll just go back to my usual line. It's just at this time of the year, we're all working off of basically the same thing. We have a pretty good sample size of this team, so we know what it should be. And for the most part, I think these lines are pretty much in place.
Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate you. We'll talk to you today or two.
Okay, guys.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.